Yeah, it's going down. H-Town, Iron Clark, B-Scott from Iron Clark.
It hits just the same on the road.
Yeah.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We are broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands. And shout out to Joaquin, who just came out, said what's up. The winner of the tickets, the Texas Ticket Tuesday for the Bears game. So he got the home opener yep. in the bullpen. You can win those same similar tickets by coming in to this Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands, signing up on a Texas Star Ticket Tuesday to win tickets to the Titans game. But I say all that to point you back to the idea that B. Scott from Hiram Clark joins us live out here. And B. Scott, how you feeling?
So I got to be honest about this game, man.
Okay, right into the thoughts.
It did not. This Texans win did not do anything for my confidence in them as a team overall. Like, I'm glad that they won the game. They absolutely had to win the game, but it didn't do anything for me. And they still had some of the shortcomings that have come up before mm-hmm. in previous losses and previous wins mm-hmm. that we've talked about throughout the season, right? Ad nauseum. So it's not like this win or the performance that they put out there did anything to make me more confident in them as a team. But I do at least hope that it did something for their own confidence, because they did win the game and they won the game comfortably. Right. Like, I can't take that away from them, even if I want to nitpick the win itself, the yeah. performance itself. I hope for their own sake, which matters more. Their own confidence matters much more than the outside mind or any of ours here. Mm-hmm. So I hope at least for them that they took something from this game that helps them. Just the fact that they didn't lose it, the fact that they didn't lose three games in a row, which we have said could not happen, right? Like, not just for the standings, but for their confidence, for the mojo, all of that mm-hmm. could not happen. So since it didn't, I hope that they're able to take something out of this and actually do something for their confidence. I'll say, man, this for me, honestly, was a boring game until that Derek Barnett, Jalen yeah. Petrie play. Like, I was other than the fact that we're invested, I was bored with this game until that play.
And it was sloppy.
I think for that reason.
Yeah.
Like, it was a sloppy game. It wasn't particularly interesting. Even the storyline had been watered down, I think, because of the issues for both teams. And so the game itself didn't really live up to anything really until that moment. Mm-hmm. And the overall performance didn't do much for me in terms of how confident I am in them as a team. They're still somewhere around the fourth, fifth, sixth, maybe even best team in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I think I tend to agree with your assessment on, like, the larger scale situation. Like, what are the questions that we had about this team, right? And the second half scoring really pointed to, can they execute offensively when they need to and consistently in order to face off against the best teams in the AFC? I don't think that you got enough of an answer there besides the idea that, hey, man, Nico Collins being there
yes.
helps a good amount, and he can do some things with some individual brilliance, or at least bring some value to whatever you're trying to do, right? Like, one of the things that was evident, there I think there was a slant play on a third down that went to Dalton Schultz that he was not able to box out, and CJ missed that throw, and we'll talk more about CJ because we have to after that game, but he's not able to box out even with his big body. The only big body I trust to, you know, box out and just kind of use his body as separation is Nico. The only one that I trust on a screen play is Nico, both offensively catching the football and being the guy who blocks on a screen play, because one of them Tank Dell screens was just Nico Collins up there mauling and giving him space to operate. So, like, so much of this offensively, it still depends on, does Nico Collins bring you individual brilliance? Does Joe Mixon bring you individual brilliance? And that's no different than we were before.
And I'm exactly in the same place as you are on this. I think a lot of people are. The way I put it was, it's complicated, because the good part, it's impossible not to come out of this game and feel, damn, that was sweet. You know, just in the taking in the breath of the game and how it ended and how the crowd took over and, you know, some of the great plays that you saw, especially on the defensive side and et cetera. But you can't ignore let me ask you what I asked Reggie earlier. Does it count? Does that second half touchdown count to you?
That is a good question.
When you take over the ball on the 35 after the Cowboys, who were desperation mode and gave up the ball on their own 35 on downs, and it's kind of garbage time, the defense is what won the game for you. It counts for them, to your point.
Right,
like,
exactly.
They feel really good in that, and you saw it in the locker room and all that stuff. But big picture, does that, like, because to me it was more of a – it was representative of second-half offensive struggles. It wasn't just about they hadn't scored a touchdown. It was representative of this is an offense that has struggled in the second half. Well, now they got the touchdown, but can you but does that equate to this is an offense that doesn't struggle in the second half? Because it did.
Yeah, it all depends on where you sit. Like, yeah. For all the rest of us, we sit on the outside and we look at it like, does that count kind of? Not really, though, for all of the reasons that you just mentioned. Yeah. For them, they can absolutely say that it did. And they can also point to the other things that we look at as glass half empty type of situations. Hey, the defense carried you. Mm-hmm. You got this big play, this big turnover, and returned it for a touchdown. These things happen toward the end of the game, and that's what propelled you to the win. But they can look at that and say, hey, well, that's what makes us good. Yeah. The fact that we do things like that is part of the reason why we're good. But no, I mean, it's the same questions that existed before exist today. Like we were talking about, or at least I know I was after the Lions loss. Of all of the meat they left on the bone. Mm-hmm. Like those field goal drives in the first half. Forget the collapse in the second half, which is bad enough. Yeah. Not excusing it, but that's bad enough. Go back to the first half of that game when you've got those three field goal drives and at least one of them for sure should have been a touchdown drive, and you don't get touchdowns on that drive. Fast forward to this game, which they win, and okay, that's great. We can celebrate a win. Oh, yeah, that's great. But you also did some of the similar stuff of leaving meat on the bone, not getting touchdowns, missing field goals. Like, there are still issues that have to be addressed with this team before you can really take them seriously. Beyond just saying that, hey, they're capable. We understand that they're talented. We understand that they can play with anybody. We remember them beating the Bills. We understand that they almost beat the Packers, right? They've been in some games that, you know, that were important, but yeah, no, man, they still got some things to prove, not just to us, but to themselves.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't know that there's opportunities for you to do that level of proving for yourself. Like, I think, and that's the tough part is, you mentioned kind of the capability versus the reality of what we're seeing, and that's been the conversation the whole year. And it's frustrating that you get to week 11, and I guess that, let me stop at that word. It's frustration. It's really what it is. I think some people hear on a victory Tuesday in this instance, and they hear kind of some of the things that we're talking about. And it's like, oh man, it's negative, but it's a factor of frustration. And I don't know, as you mentioned, for those of us on the outside, there's going to be anything, and there definitely wasn't anything that could have happened in this game outside of just flatly becoming a different team and pounding the living you know what out of the Cowboys that would have changed that for us. But maybe, just maybe, they saw enough of answers in that game that they feel like they have it within themselves to be the team that we think they can.
So I feel like we are in two different places with the offense and the defense, right?
Okay.
We've got enough data, enough sample size now to be able to say this. With the defense, we know their weaknesses, and we think that they're good enough to overcome it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are their weaknesses on the defense? Sometimes giving stuff up over the middle, of obviously the slot position and man-to-man coverage, not something that we really love. But the guy who is the slot corner is somebody that makes plays. Like, we understand his utility as a football player to where we think they can kind of overcome that. And so far, as a defense, as a unit, they have overcome that. Like, they have performed at the very least a standard that you want them to, and in some cases, above that. The offense is the exact opposite. We know their weaknesses, but we're not sure if they are good enough to overcome them. The issues within the offensive line, C.J. Stroud somewhat taking a step back a little bit, the Bobby Slowick issues, all of these things coming together. We still – and this Cowboys win did not necessarily affirm that or tell us anything about this. Are they good enough to overcome the weaknesses that they have on offense?
Well, the thing about that, and I think this is what illustrated it for me with the offense – on the one hand, you say, hey, they only got sacked once. How many pressures? It was like 18, 15, 18, something like that, pressures they gave up. So,
and again, this represents an improvement still, right? Like, this offensive line
saying,
still represents an improvement.
But you're still giving up pressures offensively. And the other part is you still have some shortcomings because anyone outside of Joe Mixon, you ain't running the ball like that. So you're kind of in a different place there. But defense, I mean, I can't imagine you have more confidence, even though there are some depth issues, you know, in the secondary that we saw last night.
Yeah.
And some of the other issues that you brought up.
Yeah. And then on the offensive side, like, we were able to have fun with it. I know y'all did with the audio with Andre Ware going off on Laramie Tunsil and they end up scoring on that drive. And it's all good. They win the game. Who cares? But that is a very, I would say, indicative issue.
Yes.
Right? The first play of the game, and you house it, and it's called back for a penalty.
Are you kidding me?
That did not have to be. That still exists and on the first play of the game. So yeah. For the reasons why Andre Ware was frustrated and why Troy – or, you know, why these guys are calling
Troy
out
Aikman,
on the broadcast.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That is a problem. That still exists within the team. You have to address that. You got to figure that out. And that's from your leaders, from your best players.
Yeah,
I mean, those are things where you're like, okay, are they good enough to overcome that against a team that's, say, not the Cowboys, right? A team that actually matters or in a position that actually matters when the games seem to matter a little bit more.
Yeah, and to that point, especially the illustration that you have of that first play with Laremy Tunsil, I think that there were moments that there is progress, but it feels so minimal considering the, like, 30,000-foot view of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things is, how many times did it, as you mentioned, like, how many times did it feel like they were absolutely just whooped on the offensive line?
Yeah.
It didn't happen as much. But then in some ways, and don't say that word that you be saying sometimes, it does feel like you plug one hole and another one pops up because then you have the penalties come back for this Texas team. So, that's the frustration that keeps popping up. But, yeah, you're right. Like, you have two different sides of the football. And right now, one of the things I was thinking in this game, and it's mostly on the offense, but all the way around, so much of this team is not a house built on just, like, a firm general foundation. It's a house built on pillars, and there are a few pillars. Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, Will Anderson Jr. Right? Because even during the course of that game, like, this is a Cowboys team that we were looking at offensively. Yeah. That we were like, oh, they're not that nice. And without Will Anderson Jr., you didn't get real pressure until, like, late in the second quarter or into the third quarter.
Yeah, but see, I would even still isolate that to the offense, right? Because even without Will Anderson and without getting that pressure that you want, and this is not their first game without Will Anderson, they've been able to find ways to make plays on defense. Like, think about Derek Barnett, somebody who I think is real easy to forget about. But that's
picked up midseason last year.
Picked up midseason last year, but is a former first-round pick and is, like, underrated talented. Like, underrated, one of the more talented guys on the defense who you don't talk about. So, like, they've got some guys. I think that it's pillars on offense, but not a foundation like you would want it to be, especially for one that is invested as much in the offensive line as they have. For that to be a weakness is certainly disappointing. I feel like the defense has plenty foundation because you can go on every level of it and find somebody that's like, okay, that's a guy. You know, you can just go at each level of the defense and find somebody, hey, that's a guy. I think and that's really the takeaway for me is the defense did do the thing. They did prove to you or show to you, confirm to you, affirm to you that they are a championship caliber defense, even though they were just going up against Cooper Rush, even though it's just this pitiful Cowboys squad. They still play pretty much on brand to the way that they've been playing. They give up some yards, but they go out there and get takeaways, or they just make big plays and big moments.
Or takeaway opportunities.
Exactly.
They drop a few.
They're just it's largely still a disruptive defense. Feels like a championship caliber defense. So the challenge really is on the offense. What are you going to be about? Are you going to be one built on pillars, as you say, to go with your analogy? Are you going to be one built on pillars, or do you actually have a foundation that can match the energy of the defense?
Well, one of the issues is the foundation on an offense is your offensive line. And to flip a saying of this Texans team on its head, anybody coming to save you in that regard?
You know,
and so it has to just be your pillars have to really pillar harder, right? And I think one of those pillars being C.J. Stroud.
I'm glad you said that.
C.J. Stroud, like there were some plays that C.J. Stroud left on that field at AT&T Stadium,
and especially
that would have made the offense look a lot better,
especially in the first half. He's got, I mean, if he was not, and let's just be honest, he was a little off. If he was not off on some of those throws in the first half, I think they go away with a two-touchdown lead in the first half.
Correct.
And then we're like, hey, no problem, nothing to see here. But that's, again, one of the pillars. He can't be a little off. He just can't be.
Yeah. Well, they're not good enough.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not good enough overall as the offense. And obviously, like, a lot of this is predicated on him being special. Like, a lot of the excitement and the thought about the team is this understanding, this baseline understanding that C.J. Stroud is special. And I think that's earlier in the year. I thought the first few weeks of the season he was still pretty close to that, but it has trailed off. And so that's the issue. This is not a one-off. It's not like you can just say, oh, not a great C.J. Stroud game. You'll just kind of shrug it off. It has been somewhat of a thing.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that. But one of the things that was wild about this one in particular is that a lot of times with the C.J. Stroud things, we might have been able to say, well, we can just wipe that away because it was the pressure. It felt like it was a little bit more than the pressure. We'll talk about that more as we continue here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from the Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, where we might talk a little bit more about these Texans, but we definitely got to talk about the Rockets, who also played last night. Yeah, you might have missed that. We'll talk about that and more next.